Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
A radio show where we discuss the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am here.
How are you this week?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Dodging all the weather? It's been crazy these past few, this whole week.
Yeah, rain off and on for like the last 2 weeks now.
Exactly. But we're here for a special. I figured something would pop up because I didn't know whether it'd be something I would have to upload or. But something fell in our laps, Ian, at the very sort of last minute in a sense, but not really. It came out earlier in the week. For our Valentine's Day special, I'm kind of excited for this one. I don't think we've done a Valentine's Day show.
I don't think we have
ever.
Either.
Yeah. So this one kind of just falls where we don't have anything to talk about, and we have a new Valentine's Day themed movie in the same week. So it worked out perfectly. You can't that doesn't happen too often, but I'm happy it did. Now the movie, on the other hand, I'm not so certain about, but we'll get into that when with our review here of Cupid 2020, which there's another film which I reviewed years back when it was like Havoc's, when I did the 30-minute, you know, like short reviews, like Havoc's horror reviews. There's an old film from the 90s called Cupid that had like Zach Galligan and Ashley Lawrence and their brother and sister, and there's incest and there's all kinds of weird stuff in that one. But yeah, this one is it's a slasher movie. And you know, it's Cupid. So, yeah, Ian, are you ready to get into this thing?
Sure.
As he said. All right. So, Cupid, sort of, this kind of had, like, the same beginning as, like, Gretel and Hansel, where it tells about, you know, a backstory of Cupid. He was born, the gods, you know, Venus and someone else, and he born with wings and everything, and he fell in love with this one girl, but the mother didn't like the girl and asked her to go and do these three impossible tasks, and this is like in storybook form as well. It's all drawn images. And she does the impossible tasks, and by the time she gets to the doors to bring the items or things or whatever it is to the mother, she basically dies on the steps, and this causes Cupid to go into a fit of rage, and instead of doing what he does, he goes to a demon or to hell or somewhere, and he wishes for no more love, and he turns into this sort of demon himself to help stop love, basically, whenever there's love about to be happening or love on the world or whatever, and if you call upon him, he will end it. And that's the backstory of Cupid. And then we get into sort of modern times, the beginning of the movie. And this beginning of the movie was weird to me. It's a blind date or a date, right? And this guy, like, something happened to, like, he's cheating or I don't know exactly. I guess he's cheating with this girl on this blind date.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. And so the date's, you know, the girl's that he's seeing is not really into it, and she tries to leave, and she eventually does. And then the guy's daughter comes in there and starts making a scene, and, like, they leave, right? And, like, we need to, you know, the daughter's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it, we need to do this, we need to do that. And then we get our close-up, you know, our technically our first shot of Cupid, which is not very good. It's like CG wing flying, you know, it's bad. And then it goes, zooms in on it, and, like, it's even worse. And I was like, okay, I kind of hoped it's going to be a bad movie just so we can have, like, fun with it, right? You know, it kind of was like, okay, I'm into it, the first half of this, you know, this whole thing. And then we get our look, our actual look at Cupid. And he, oh, God. Okay, so he has all the Roman outfit, attire, the Roman sandals with the laces going up. The Cupid outfit, the wings, the bow and arrow, and like he kills the girl who's trying to leave the date. Arrow goes through her. It's an awful CGI. There's a lot of awful digitally imposed CGI shots with the arrow throughout this movie, and that was definitely one of them that looked awful. And I forgot to mention this is uncorked. As soon as that logo popped up for Uncorked, I was like, oh my God, what have we got ourselves into? Because they can be good, they can be bad. This one kind of falls in the middle. So it's the elf, I'll say that much. So anyway, the girl dies, and then it's the daughter and the father running, and the daughter looks older than the dad. honestly, if you look at it, and so they run, and then like Cupid, like, starts, he shoots an arrow into the dad's legs, and then the daughter, for some reason, you know, again, it comes up later on, I guess, you're just wondering, like, why is this the case, because, like, he kills the daughter in front of the dad, and then kills the dad, and then we get the, you know, that's the other opening of the movie. And then you're like, why is the daughter die? You know, but then it kind of makes sense a little bit later, but then it doesn't. There's a few little plot lines that it kind of doesn't make sense, but I want to bring that up first. And then we get our main central cast, and we have Faye, who is this sort of goth, sort of witch-type character. And she has, you know, her friend who kind of has a crush on her, but she doesn't see it, and she wants to date the black teacher, Mr. Jones, but he's dating another teacher who looks like a knockoff Daryl Hannah. And they're having their thing, and they're trying to do, like, non-PDA stuff in the workplace. And then Faye's, like, really into Mr. Jones, and for some reason, you know, she's doing all these love spells, and they're not working. And then we have Elise, who's the leader of, like, all the bullies. Like, she has her own knit group, and she's the, you know, it's technically Mean Girls and one guy in the group. And she's like, lol, I'm going to pick on Elise, you know, not Elise, but Elise is going to pick on Faye, because why the fuck not? And so they decide to do this prank where they steal Mr. Jones's phone and starts texting Faye and doing all this, you know, dating, like, I'm grading papers tomorrow, so come in and make a move, you know. Walked in on her in the, she had gum in her hair, and so he was in there trying to help her, and that kind of started the whole train rolling of Mr. Jones and Faye. because Elise overhears this, and that's how it sets up the sort of the prank that Elise wants to do. And so, like, Miss wants to get the phone, and Elise starts, you know, texting as Mr. Jones to Faye, like, did you feel that? You know, I felt something, you know, between us in the bathroom. Did you feel it too? Send me a picture, a little bit more provocative, and that sets more stuff into motion. And then they do the whole meet me after class, I'm grading papers, and that's when Elise videotapes it and puts it on a hard drive, and they show it in front of the classroom, which causes Faye to get even pissed and summons Cupid. But first we get, like, the demon or some kind of reaper. Like, you know the consequences, and you know the everything that's going to be happening, and Faye agrees to it. And then she says she wants love. She wants everyone, or just she wants love to die, basically, I think, or something. And she, and then the demon reaper says, where is, like, everybody in this school? And when I would assume everybody, I would assume, you know, they would say everybody, but no, it's just a few people. It's just the people that picked on her, and basically her friend, and the teachers, and the principal, and all that stuff. And then basically you have Cupid sort of going after, and there's, like, a Valentine's Day dance as well. That's not really that, it's a main plot point, honestly, because, like, they're doing all the, Elise is doing all this decorating in the gym, and, like, there's not that much decorations. And then, like, when they get the tension for everything that goes down between Elise and Faye with the pictures and the video on the screen in the classroom, the projector, like, they all get in the tension. And, like, oh, okay, you're not going to – the Valentine's dance is canceled. You can't do anything. So get rid of the decorations. And there's not that many decorations to begin with. So I was like – I mean, it's just, I guess it's more in your head because, you know, what you see is, because there's not that much, honestly. It's like something that could have took like 20 minutes, honestly, if you really put your head to it. But then you have Cupid, you know, show up because Elise, being the entitled bitch that she is, doesn't want to do detention. And she's like, okay, expel me. I'm out of here. Fuck you. And she goes out to the car with her boyfriend, who's like an older guy. And then that's when Cupid shows up and starts attacking them, and he's like going through the halls and showing up random places. And it just turns into, the best way I can put this, it's like an early 2000s, one of those like 2002 to between 2005 direct, you know, straight to video slasher movies. It's like something like Demonicus or like Death Factory, just one of those weird, you know, just like an obscure idea for a slasher movie. And maybe like Cyclops maybe as well, Jigsaw. There's like a lot of these that came out around that period straight to, you know, on the, it littered the video store shelves. And it's just, it felt like from that period. It's like how I said Underwater felt like, you know, that you know, creature movies from that time period, you know, the 90s. And like this one felt like one of those, you know, like Bloody Murder. It feels like it would fall right into place with all those films or in that backlot murders. And there's just like, but this one is like a Cupid, so it'd be one of those odd ones like Driller or Death Factory or something like that. And overall it's not the worst thing we've watched. I just kind of wish they went a little bit more like, sort of, they play it on a serious tone, serious nature. And there's really kind of no fun. I mean, the way the Cupid looks, I mean, you would expect, like, something sort of maybe that would be picked up by Troma, honestly, with the idea behind it, and just, like, going around having fun, you know, sort of like Sergeant Kabuki Man or something like that, and just having fun, like, killing people in you know, bloody ways. And they kind of don't. They just play it up for norm, you know, like, sort of how, like, Killer Sofa was. Like, but there was still a little bit of fun factor with Killer Sofa. But they still played it pretty straightforward. And this one is just like, it's fine. I mean, it's serviceable. It's watchable. I didn't really hate it. You know, it's not good. It's not bad. It's in the middle. The kills aren't really all that great. Honestly, it's just because, like, Cupid's shooting people with poison arrows. So, that's the whole thing, like the whole poison arrow thing, like I thought it was kind of squandered, where like the idea is there because you have to, you know, you're coughing up the, you know, your body is, it's black blood, basically. You're coughing up black blood, and your body's like, the veins are starting to show, you know, but they're black, your veins are turning black, and you're spitting up black blood and all that stuff. And then, like, it gets a little bit, you know, hectic for one scene later on in the movie. And I was like, that could have been fun if they, you know, turned up, like, the fun factor a little bit instead of playing it straightforward, because it just doesn't feel like it needed to be taken at face value. There needed to be a little bit of sort of campy, tongue-in-cheek nature to this film. And it probably made it a little bit more funner than what it was. I mean, at the end of it, I mean, I had the beginning, first half, I was into it, and then it just kind of squandered and just felt like kind of forced in a sense, like, okay, let's get on with it. I'm getting tired of this premise. Where if it was fun and like the kills were interesting and like the characters were sort of interesting, you know, it would have been okay. You know, they had that little sort of campy nature like some, you know, okay slashers have. It was in that vein, you know, like Death Factory. I mean, that one, I mean, it's pretty straightforward, but it has a little bit of fun nature, and it has, like, a little bit over-the-top gore in the way the things are. Demonicus is honestly one of the worst fucking things ever, but because it's full moon, just the way everything looks, and the whole plot of the Roman killer just in full, like, Halloween garb of the night, you know, armor, and oh my god, and he's like running up the side of the mountain, Demonicus or something like that, or Tyrannus or whatever he's talking. It's bad, but there's, it's just one of those so bad it's kind of good things. But this one is just like middle of the road, you know, sort of safe in a sense, even though the idea is like it's a fun idea. I like it, and I like that they actually decided to do with Cupid, you know. And then there's like all these plot points and stuff that I was kind of messing around with. Yeah. Like, there's just like a lot of things. But I'll get into the plot points once we get Ian's thoughts. Ian.
Well, I think my biggest problem with it was, you know, it was serious, which it shouldn't have been. And the acting was awful. And like, I hate when bad acting, when it's, like, really bad, and it's not, like, a comical bad, and it's not supposed to be a funny thing. And I always kind of hate that, because I'm like, this is, like, the teacher, her facial expressions were killing me every time she
was getting mad.
There
was parts where, like, especially when, like, Elise was leaving, and, like, the principal goes out there, and, like, she runs, and she has, like a smirk on her face, like, okay, she's going to get her. It's like something, like, she's going to get her comeuppance or something. And then, like, I don't know, it was like her facial expressions were weird. But I didn't mean to cut you off. I just remembered that.
Oh, no, you're fine. Like, I mean, even, like, the teacher, or the principal was also, like, had weird, like, he was just, it just seemed like everybody was getting unrealistically angry. And, like, I was like, what is that guy going to, I was like, you can't really stop a, like, make a student get out of a car. Like, you can't really do that. That's not your child. And I was like, so I thought, I was like, you know, sitting there thinking, I was like, okay, maybe, you know, with the, in the beginning when they were talking about it, how they filled Cupid up with, like, anger and stuff. And I was like, maybe, like, he makes people, like, turn on each other. And I was kind of hoping to see, like, you know, Cupid killing people and then, like, everybody, like, getting, like, real angry and then, like, start killing each other or something. I was like, I was kind of hoping that would be the case, but I was just like, nope, they're just terrible actors. Okay, move on.
And honestly, I didn't know exactly where this was taking place, because I didn't know if it was set in the UK, because, like, some people have, you know, the strong, you know, those London accents, right? And then some of them are, like, doing, I would assume, are trying to do an American accent, like the Mr. Jones, like, when he's talking, he's like, get them, you know, because he had, instead of them, it was a strong D. So I'm assuming he's doing an accent, you know, like trying to hide, you know, doing an American accent, because it just seemed like some of them were, like, trying, and I don't know, the accents were all over the place. Like, I didn't know whether it was in America or London.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Or,
I know they were. He was driving on the left hand side of the guy that was driving the car was on the left hand side. So
I mean, I don't have no problem with it, but it's just like it was kind of hard to like pinpoint like where's this happening, you know?
Yeah. And I love when people try to pass off full grown adults as teenagers. It kills me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, I thought we were done with this in the 90s, mid 2000s. But like you said, this is a 2004 movie, so just
yeah,
put
it's out of time.
16
I mean, it's
years
definitely
later.
A throwback. Yeah.
I mean, it's
go ahead.
It was a trip.
Yeah.
Like, the some of the kills and were just odd.
Yeah.
Like
where does Cupid get a heart-shaped cookie cutter? You know? Like,
I mean,
it just came out of nowhere. Like, why does he have a cookie cutter? You know? It's just a heart-shaped metal piece. I mean, yeah, but, like, if someone hated love so much, they wouldn't be carrying around a cookie cutter. And I would assume if you were from that period, you wouldn't have heart-shaped cookie cutters.
No. But I did like the Rose Death, though.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, ooh, that's creative. I haven't seen I personally haven't seen anything like where they shoved roses down someone's throat. I liked it. I was like, oh, that's the most interesting death so far. And I was like, but that was it. There was nothing really other, like, I guess, I don't know. I wish they would have done more like Valentine's Day themed murders. That old lady that came out of nowhere. Like,
yeah.
Just like, where was she at this whole movie?
There's like, again, yeah, just like people just show up. Like, we're okay, here's this. And then, like, the whole fucking reasoning behind it, like, oh, I didn't want this. It was like, it's exactly what you wanted, you know? And then Elise is like at the tail end of the movie, so there's some minor spoilers. It's like, you did this to us. If it wasn't for you, I'm like, no, it's not. Wasn't for Faye. It's for you, you dumb bitch. You know, because you're the one starting all this shit. You're the one that did it. And then everyone else is to pay for it. Like, oh yeah, your friends are dead because of shit that you did. And then like, it's both their faults. Honestly, they're both fucking bitches. Honestly, because Faye is like entitled. And then the Elise is just a self-centered bitch. And so they butt heads constantly. And then it's just like, and then like the whole reasoning
like,
for like everything leaving at the end, I was like, that doesn't make sense. How come the girl at the beginning of the movie had to fucking die if that's the way you have to do it? You know, it's just like, what's the point?
I thought everybody, like the whole thing was everybody was supposed to die. Like she didn't specify that it was for that girl. And I was so confused. I was like,
she just wanted love. Everyone, love.
Exactly. And he was like, even said, there's no exceptions. You have to wait 24 hours. And then, like, right after he said that, it's over. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I was like, that's not even in your own rules. I guess what it was they needed to end it, and they were like, oh, this is going to be too long, let's just end this. Alright.
Yeah.
But, like, and I hated the reasoning behind that girl, like, she was, like, really going after Faye. Like...
Yeah, it's not her fault. Spoilers. Yeah, Faye's dad died, and so her mother is seeing Elise's father, and they're having, you know, sex, basically. And that pisses Elise off to do all the pranks and all the stuff to Faye, which causes Faye to summon Cupid. And so there you go. That's the whole thing, because her mother's having sex with her father. And like, what the fuck does that... Why do you care about your father's sex life?
Yeah, like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. Like, it just, I don't know, and just, I don't know. I just felt it was kind of just oddly thrown together. Like, it just felt like it was thrown together as they were making it.
Mm-hmm.
And they broke their own rules. They broke I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't. Well, never made it simple and to the point. I mean, like I said, it's not the worst thing. It's middle of the road. If you want something sort of stupid or interesting, like a Cupid slasher movie, it's serviceable. It does the job. It's not something you hate, but if you really sit down and pick everything apart, you're gonna have a bad time with it. And you know,
yeah.
And it is that last half of everything is just kind of it's kind of a bore. And it's like it's interesting to see Cupid and the way he looks and everything going through this, you know, modern school, and like the way his face looks. I mean, it's very low budget. I mean, honestly, this is one of those where like I don't even know what you would call the look of him, because he had like sort of like a duck bill lip, and like his teeth are on the outside, and then like his face is all mangled, and it's just like sort of technically sort of looks like the poster, but not as dark. I mean, he's pretty much like a normal pale dude, which is, he's like 5 foot tall. Honestly, he's short. And it's just, I mean, it's an okay look. I mean, for budgetary reasons, yeah. I mean, it does the job for what it's trying to portray. But again, it just, you don't get that much of Cupid. I mean, and then there's like parts of like the hearts beating on the screen, and like everyone's standing around, and like, okay, look at Cupid, and he has the worst aim for someone like Cupid that has like the best aim, right? He has the worst fucking aim. Like, he can't fucking shoot worth shit. Like, from long distances, he can shoot no problem. But if you're, like, 5 feet in front of him, oh, shit, I'm missing.
Yeah.
Like, they're
and
running
the
out the door right in front
like,
of him.
Yeah, and the male teacher, he was all over the place. Like, especially when they were, he was, when that one kid with the, when he got his arm shot. I was just I was like, he's like, trust me, trust me, trust me. But he didn't tell him what he was going to do. He's just like, this is what's going to happen. Here, let's put your arm in this. Oh, okay. I'm going to let you put my arm in a big vice grip. Huh.
Yeah.
What's going to happen now? Oh, what are you going to do with that saw? It's like,
I would have worked if it was a little bit more fun, because that was like, it played up sort of like the sort of like the Evil Dead 2 nature, in a sense, honestly, that part. And then I was like, why didn't the whole film try to be, you know, not, I mean, of course, we're going to compare it to Evil Dead 2. But at least, you know, like, have fun. Be like a campy, tongue-in-cheek slasher movie. And it kind of failed that. And it's just like, I mean, it's okay. It's serviceable. It's decent enough. But it's not the best thing that it could have been.
No.
It was a little bit of fun. You know, it's like Blood Gnomes or something. Like, you go in there expecting, okay, I expect this and that, and it's actually a fun movie. You know, it's just like, you go in there expecting, like, okay, don't be so serious, you know, or have a little bit of serious tone nature to it. And then, like, I don't know, it's just like sometimes, like, they take these ideas and just, like, make them so straightforward where there's, like, nothing to grasp.
Yeah, and I would have loved it, like, you know, if it would have been a tongue-in-cheek, because there's so much jokes they could have made. Like, I love when the killer has one-liners. Like, honestly, that would have made this movie a million times better. Just give Cupid some one-liners. And
like the whole, the heart-shaped, you know, the heart cookies, like he's using the cookie, the heart-shaped cookie cutter, and like, put, you know, taking pieces of skin out, and then later on they start, you know, there's snacks on the table, and there's the heart-shaped pieces of skin. They start eating them. That had been like a fun little like gag, and like, again, it was so much fun. Like, oh, okay, whatever, you know, like, oh, and then like later, like, oh, that's what that was, you know, oh, we were eating skin, you know. It could have been fun little tongue-in-cheek things.
It's like how did you not know? Like, what did he do, like, make it flavored like a cookie? Like, oh, these cookies taste like pork rinds.
Yeah.
That's odd.
Yeah.
Like, it just made no sense, and I'm just, oh, God. I love when we pick through movies and we just, you know, it just gets worse the more you think about it.
I mean, that's what it is, man. When you sit down and talk about it, it's just, it kind of, but again, it's not terrible. That's the thing. It's not a bad movie. Like I said, if you like that period of films from the early thousands that littered, slasher movies littered the store shelves, right? 2002, 2005, maybe a little bit into 2006 because Driller was like 2006. And it's just like that, you know, type of movie, you know. It's just like, it's fine, you know. It's like, another one I'm trying to think, like maybe not Hellbreeder, but it's just like, there's like all those different slasher movies from that time. They're just like littered the store shelves, and like maybe like Dark Harvest with like the Scarecrow, or it's just like School's Out, you know, that's another one. Just like all kinds of those that littered the shelves, Severed and all kinds of crappy ones like that. And it just, it falls right in line with that, like Vicious. Even though that's a killer monster movie, but it's bad, it's terrible. But it's just like it's in that vein of where this film compares at. It's just not so good, you know. Detour, you know, stuff like that. Just those low budget knockoffs littered the video stores. This is definitely one of those. And like I said, it's like it's picked out of time. It's like came fucking almost 20, 18 years too late.
God, I don't like thinking about
it. And it's not bad. It's just, it's fine. It's serviceable. It does the job, sort of. But it could have been a little bit more tongue-in-cheek, campy nature. You know, not full campy. You know, we're not talking Evil Dead 2. We're not talking about, you know, a full-on trauma movie. Just have a little fun with it. I mean, it's a fucking killer Cupid. You didn't need to be so fucking serious, you know? But yeah, I really don't have anything else to say, Ian. Do you have any final thoughts before we call this a show?
Not really. I mean, there's just only so much you can say about a film like this. And we pretty much gave away the entire movie, so
we kinda did, except for the ending, which the ending I kinda would talk about it, but it would give it away. Because that ending is just like, oh, okay, all right. It's kind of like,
I mean,
and it's just, go ahead.
It was the funniest part of the whole movie, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I literally said, why couldn't the whole movie be like that? Like,
see, that would have been funny if the whole movie was like that, and then it would have been like, oh, it's a little extra cherry on top, you know? But no.
Whack.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah. I'm
done. All right, Ian. I'm gonna go ahead and say that's our Valentine's Day show. We actually went a little longer than normal, but we go on tangents and talk about things.
Happy Valentine's Day, y'all.
Yeah. So next week is Fantasy Island, which I'll be seeing tomorrow. So we'll have that next week. So thanks everyone for listening, Ian, as always, and we'll see you next time.